Well, this is a story with heart, appropriate for Valentine's Day. Let me introduce you to Mae Lankus, upstate student working on her doctorate in physical therapy with quite a story to tell us. Good morning, Mae.
Hi.
Welcome to HealthLink On Air. We're so happy to have you here. I want to begin with this fact. You are a lifesaver, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yes. Tell us how you're a lifesaver.
Well, about a year ago, last February, I donated bone marrow to a 51-year-old lady that was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And you were her last chance.
Yes.
Yes, you were her. And she lives today? You hear from her on occasion?
Yes. I haven't actually been in contact with her, but the bone marrow center has been giving me updates. I received update about a month after I donated, and then a 6 month, and I should be receiving another update in a couple weeks.
I find this a wonderful story. Tell us how you got involved in this. You're not very old. Will you tell us how old you are?
I'm 21.
21 years old, and you've already saved someone's life. That's an amazing thing. So tell us how this got started.
Well, one of my friends on my undergraduate swim team was diagnosed with acute lymphocytic leukemia. So she had a bone marrow drive to encourage people to sign up for the registry. So I signed up for the registry in December of 2006, and then I was called shortly after, and I ended up donating last February.
You did. All right. So let's walk this through even a little bit more. Your teammate needed a lot of people to sign up to see if anybody would be a match.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And was anybody a match for her?
Yes. She did receive a bone marrow transplant, but we don't think it was from her particular drive, but many people have been called that signed up at her drive.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of how this works, right?
Right.
You can sign up at a drive to mm-hmm. see whether or not you would be a match for someone, but you might actually be helping somebody who's on the other side of the country or even another country, right?
Exactly.
It's a very interesting process. All right. So you signed up, and what did they do? How did they test you?
Well, originally they call potential matches, which there may be more than one.
Well, I want to back up before that. Mm-hmm. How did they know what your bone marrow would be? They took a swab or something?
Right. To sign up at the registry, you at the bone marrow drive, you take a cotton swab and put it in your mouth with a little bit of your saliva, and then you just put it in a plastic bag, and that's it.
That's it. So right. It's not like they're taking blood or anything else.
No.
It's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah, just a cotton swab.
Okay. And so you signed up, and then you started hearing from people.
Right. You're preliminary called as a preliminary match, and you may not be chosen even after that. You have about a 1 in 12 chance of being the actual match once you're called the first time. And then they just take a small little vial of blood, like they do for a mono test or even a regular blood test. And then they check you against various proteins in your blood, and they decide if you'll be the best match for that specific patient. And then
I see.
That's how they choose.
All right. So then you got this call. Now, at that point, had you already committed? So, for instance, when you went through the marrow drive and you said that you would be tested, was that a promise that you would actually donate? Or was it just give me a call if you need me and I'll think about it then?
I was pretty convinced that I had wanted to donate, because they do stress that if you don't think you would want to or don't think you'd be able to, you really shouldn't sign up unless you think that you'd be able to. And also, when I did get the call and they told me the age and of the lady and what she was diagnosed with, there was really no way that I could say no.
Oh, no, no, exactly. So. Right, because she's still a young woman. I say that from my perspective. She's still a very young woman, and she had a lot of life to live.
Right.
And you could give that to her. So what happened next? You decided you would be a donor.
Yes.
They called you in, and what was the experience? How did you donate?
I donated through something called peripheral blood stem cell donation. And what they did is they gave me filgrastim shots, which release bone marrow stem cells into my blood for about a week before the donation process.
Okay.
And then I was called.
And was it painful?
The shots were not painful. It was like getting a flu shot, and I had to get two of those shots a day, and they usually just did it in my arm.
Okay.
And they were actually very convenient. They shipped them right to my undergraduate campus.
Oh, they did?
So I didn't have to. I just had to stop by the campus health center.
Yep.
So those, because they're growth shots, they gave me a little bit of flu-like symptoms, like a little bony pain, some nausea at night, but I usually took Tylenol PM, and
you're okay.
Pretty fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I still attended all my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then my actual donation day was on a Thursday, so I went to Rochester for that. And they paid for all my accommodations for my parents to come to and be there. And I sat in a bed-type thing with a needle in one of my arms and a needle in the other arm. And they basically took my blood out of one arm, took the cells out that they needed, the bone marrow stem cells, and then put my blood back in my other arm. So I just sat there for a while they did that. And
is it just, what, like a few hours that you do it?
Yeah. Sometimes it's over 2 days because they have to get the appropriate number of cells.
Yeah.
So if they can do it in 1 day, they will. So they just
and that's
did
what they did with
day.
You. Yep. Oh, that's great. Are you glad you did it?
Yes.
You are.
Very
yeah,
glad.
I mean, how do you feel about it? Because there are not a lot of 21-year-olds in this world who can say that they gave somebody a life.
It's an awesome feeling. It's totally awesome to know that someday I could possibly meet her and just to know that her family
exactly.
feels great that she's still alive.
Exactly right. It's got to be just an incredible feeling. Now you're participating in a marrow drive at Upstate this week on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
This is for people who are interested maybe in being tested that cheek swab like you were.
Right.
Right? Be the match, they're calling it. It's Wednesday at Weiss-Cotton Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And are you speaking? Are you
yes.
talking about your experience?
Yes, I will be.
And anybody can attend, right? Anybody
right.
from the community?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So I'll remind people it's at Weiss-Cotton Hall, which is on the Upstate campus,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday, February 17th at 12 noon. If anybody's interested in learning more about marrow donation in general, and maybe they can't be there on Wednesday, is there a place you can send them to get more information?
Yes, there's a website, www.marrow.org. And there's a ton of information on there about the myths of donating and how some people believe certain things that may not be true. So.
Yeah. And did you spend a lot of time learning about it before you participated?
Yes. They actually have had me watch a DVD. And
oh, wow. That's great.
Phone information session. So I was fully informed.
You were well prepared.
Yes.
Well, Mae Lankus, thank you so much for coming by this morning. You are a delight. And I'm proud of you. I know your parents were proud of you. And I can only imagine how this woman felt. Thank you for saving her life.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. My new love affair, or want to join my secret club? Well, dear listeners, you know how great we feel today, Valentine's Day, when we tell each other how much we love each other and how we wish we could carry that with us through the stress of our daily lives? Well, I've discovered something that does that for me, and I'd like to share it with you. It may seem a little weird to you, but hey, my kids tell me I am a little weird. So listen, next time you're over the top with the frazzles, frantically scratching out another too long to-do list, or if you're like me, calling my voicemail to leave myself a message because I've run out of memory in my head and I'll forget whatever urgent thing just came up before I get back to the office, even if it's only 3 minutes from now. Anyway, when you're doing that, remember to be loving to yourself when you leave the message. So, for example, I'll say, hey, Rich, don't forget X, Y, and Z. And then I'll take a few extra seconds to whisper some sweet nothings to myself. Say something like, hope you're having a good day, love. Take good care of yourself. Talk to you later, bud. When I do that, I feel calmer. And right then, I often remember how other people care for me, too. No matter what the emergency is, I'm more able to do the do with a more easygoing, focused attitude and be with folks in a more caring way, too. Later, when I hear the message, I'm often amazed at how touched I am, how even moved. My whole body relaxes. My heart rate drops. My furrowed brow unfurrows. I feel loved and able to live from a loving place again. Now, when I first started doing this, I was embarrassed and didn't want anybody to hear me doing it. Like, it's not okay to love yourself. That's an odd idea, isn't it? Getting caught loving yourself too much. But I found out I could sneak past that obstacle by using a code name. So I'd say, hey, bud, it's Rich. Don't forget XYZ and sign off like, okay, old buddy. Hope you're doing well. Talk to you later. So Pammy, Nixter, Riley O, Charlie, Lynn, Jean, Glenda, Dito, Claire, Alvina, Dennis, Kathy, and Mom and Dad, I love you all. Really. And dear listeners, happy Valentine's Day. And a big hug and kiss to you, my dear Richie. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks very much.